You're listening to Around Comics, episode 119.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable,
yes.
Where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels.
Yes.
On every Monday episode, just like this one, we go over the week in comic book news, review our favorite books in Top of the Stack, and take a look at the upcoming week's books in Future Stacks.
Future Stacks.
I'm Christopher Niesman.
The most hated segment in all podcasting history. Future Stacks.
I think it's a fraud.
It is. I just make shit up.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
One
I don't
of the
even look
on
at a list.
Future Stack didn't come out in that bullshit.
Scotty's still pissed.
I am pissed.
I'm Christopher Niesman, and filling out the round table today are Brian Salazar. You are all around the round table?
I'm the round mound of podcasting.
Jesus.
Brian Charles Berkeley Salazar.
And I'm not a role model. Bitch.
Next is the current artist on Marvel's The New X-Men, Mr. Scotty Young.
Sold out. Selling out everywhere.
I sell out everywhere. I am awesome.
Scotty Young, the sellout?
I sell out books.
Every
I
night.
Kick everybody's ass at risk, and I break ankles at John Madden.
With his abs.
With my abs.
You're awesome.
Yep, and really. And our special guest this week, which you'll hear definitely a lot more on Thursday, is one of the producers at EA Games Chicago office, Mr. Adam Schwenk.
Yeah, hey guys. You don't have so much
Swanky?
Six-pack over there. You have more of a party keg from what I can see.
Oh, this in the keg. This in the abs.
Fucking geek.
And is Mike going to join us?
I think he's over there right now. He'll probably come back over.
Okay, Mike Kennedy may be over here in just a couple minutes, so if you hear him chime in, that's who that is.
What's he doing?
He's talking to, I think he's bartering with Mark.
Video games? I'll give you Madden 2009 now. It's a demo copy, but give me that Madman Gargantua hardcover. I don't
what?
Know.
Have you guys ever done any of those shows with those masks on?
Tom did. Yeah. Flash.
Actually, Tom is on assignment.
I did wear the Rocketeer helmet one episode. But
that was good.
Sweet.
Where is Tom?
I don't. He's in Wisconsin. I don't know. He's milking cows or something.
Yeah, he said he was going to be on assignment again.
I think he went to another plane of existence.
Tom's always on another plane.
Actually, you know what? Actually, do you know where Tom
alternate
is?
Alternate reality.
You know where Tom is?
I know.
He's in line waiting for a Harry Potter book. He's actually saving my spot in line.
Well, he would be waiting in line at Borders, which is a great time to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laura K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels.
Ooh, this is dirty.
Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
It's dirty, nasty.
And Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We'd love to meet you. Put the lightsaber down.
Why?
Don't put it down.
Put the lightsaber down.
How do I turn it on?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, there you go.
Oh. Sal. Sal, you are my bitch. Sal has nothing.
I got nothing.
You could do the robot chicken thing, right? Like, oh, Solo. Oh, Solo. Have you guys heard that?
Oh. Love the robot chicken.
You better look without the mask on.
I don't know
well,
what you're talking about.
Well, this is going to be an abbreviated news segment because we got a lot of news coming up next week with San Diego.
I'm scared.
So let's jump into it. It is time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
All right. Our buddies over at Dial R Studios are going to be at San Diego.
What's R stand for?
Radical.
Revenge? Is it?
I haven't.
Where's Wachter?
Dial.
Wachter.
Rheumatism.
Dave
Radio.
Wachter.
Dial.
Hey, Dave. What's the R in Dial R stand for?
Rickety.
Stands
Rickets.
For revenge.
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 That's what I thought. Well, Dial R Studios will be at
Dial Ricketts
5524, and they are debuting at the San Diego Comic-Con. Dial R booth will feature creators J. Andrew Clark,
Scar Tissue,
Dave
Wachter, Almanac,
Pat Loika,
Scar Tissue, Fiendish
Tim Loika,
Pat Armageddon, Hocal.
Is it Maze or Maisie?
Yeah.
Seeds of
Maze.
Darkness, Hocal.
You're sassy tonight, Sal.
And Michael Woods.
Low
They'll
orbit.
Be debuting the first Dial R Studios anthology book, Pantheon, also debuting at the show will be the final issues of Scar Tissue,
Yay!
Finally, and Pat the Armageddon. The Scar Tissue trade paperback revamp number one. The Scar Tissue trade paperback revamp number one, and Genius J's Almanac. Pat, Dave, Chris, and Tim will be accepting sketch commission requests throughout the weekend as well. Every sketch or comic purchased from the booth gets you a raffle ticket. God, I'm butchering this. We'll get you a raffle ticket to win one of many prizes. God.
One of many prizes, including a Nintendo
Wii. You'll win stuff if you do go there.
Hey, and I will say, Dave was kind enough to provide us with some previews of stuff, including the Pantheon anthology, and they look really good. They were very entertaining, lots of good stuff in there, and I recommend checking those out. And go say hi to the Dollar guys.
You could win a Wii.
You could win a Wii.
I only buy stuff if people have pockets, a lot of pockets on their belt.
Okay, Rob.
Speaking of pockets, and thanks for pulling me out from under the bus there, Sal.
Sure.
Speaking of pockets,
yes.
The original seven from Image are going to reunite at the San Diego Comic-Con. You like that?
Segue?
That was a good segue, because I didn't even know that was coming up.
Oh.
That's how much fucking magic I hold in
professionals.
Me.
Professionals.
So if you are a fan of the early Image years, as I know a lot of people are, at 10:30 in room 6A on Friday the 27th, you'll have a chance to sit in on a panel with all seven of the Image founders.
Eric Larson, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, Todd McFarlane, Wells Portacio, Mark Silvestri, and Jim Valentino, the Image guys, the guys that started it all, the big revolution in comics that we all now love to hate.
Well, I'd love to love them.
I didn't.
You old men hate them. Us young whippersnappers.
It's their remarkable 15th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I don't have hate for any of those guys. Honestly, I think no matter what you may say about what they did, their art styles or whatever, their stories or whatever they did, I mean, they changed comics.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
we're certainly going to see an ass-loads ton of pockets on those action.
There'll be lots of pockets.
Well, you know, I think, you know, that is a case of, you know, the rise and fall and rise of Image Comics. It's definitely a company that that burst onto the scene. It created a lot of excitement in the industry.
It got me into comics. That's what it started.
It got a lot of people into comics, a lot of people excited about comics, and then there was
got boxes of that shit.
Sure.
Yeah. I bought it.
Well, I loved it. There was the whole Perfect Storm that led to the crash of the 90s, but you look at Image today, and it is a healthy company that's putting out some of the best books in comics.
I wonder what these guys are going to... I mean, you know that at San Diego, at a Comic-Con, at this panel, you're going to have people that are just going to go there...
And hate.
Nothing in mind other than, like, asking some asinine question. That isn't even a question, more like a statement against those guys.
Of course,
But I wonder how they're going to handle it.
What's funny is that, like, I think a lot of people forget that the Image Comics guys really sort of define what comics kind of are today in many ways. Mm-hmm. They really kind of brought comics out of that sort of hardcore kind of, you know, you've got like these, you know, the Jack Kirby sort of wannabes like coming in and out everywhere. And then they sort of made this sort of like what we were talking, like cinematic presentations to comics. And nowadays, you know, I mean, you look at the quality that had, you know, pervades everywhere. It's much higher as a result.
Sure, they introduced, you know, the higher paper qualities. They introduced the
coloring,
the digital coloring. I mean, a lot of different innovations.
Well, and just the idea. I'm not saying they didn't introduce the idea of creator owned, but they definitely made it like I said, I've always said, for me, who I was in junior high when Image started, and that's what introduced me to comics. So for me as a comic book fan, I never thought to grow up wanting to draw Spider-Man or Batman, because I thought everybody grew up and created your own Spider-Man or Batman. I already thought somebody drew Spider-Man, so I shouldn't want that job.
Well, Image brought creator-owned comics into the comics mainstream.
Right.
They took it from, you know, indie to the comics mainstream. And I think it was a case of, you know, the pendulum had swung so far to the company side of how things were run, and the Image guys swung that pendulum back totally the other side.
I think that we should... I think that Image... I think I probably brought it up before, but I think Image... the evolution from the beginning to what it is now is such an interesting thing that we should do a whole show
on Image
on that. That's like just
Comics 101,
what it meant then, what it started out as, what it has different ups and downs of what it has evolved to now. I mean it's like night and day now, but it's
I don't know if people realize, newer comic fans realize how earth-shattering it was to
say, what I mean.
We're going to take seven of the creators,
the
but
superstars of the time.
The biggest names. Right. If you can imagine Brubaker, Bendis, Miller, Johns, throw in a couple of...
Scotty Young.
And those guys say, we're going to go start our own company and make our own comics. It was
It also changed the attitude of the industry going, okay, we have to do something different. We have to try and appease these creators in a different way than what we had done before. We can't just necessarily take advantage of them any longer. And like I said, no matter what you say about the product that they put out, they created a change in the industry, and a lot of times change is a really hard thing to do, especially in an industry like comics where it's been so sort of incestual for so long.
Yeah, people do complain about the lack of whatever story or whatever. It's all about flashy art and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you have to give it its respect for I don't believe that comics would be what they are today, the kind of stories and the different places that it'd be today, that wouldn't have happened.
Right, it was a growth spurt. Looking back at it now, it's very easy to pick apart.
Right.
But if it hadn't happened, would we have the kind of comics we have today?
Well, you definitely wouldn't have me, and then you'd be really sad.
We wouldn't have Scotty.
Kind of moving into our next story is in what Image has become is it's a way for young talent and existing talent in the industry to put out creator-owned work.
Right.
And Juan Ferreira is returning to Image Comics Shadowline this October with a book called Lazarus, and it is a full-color mystery miniseries, and it reads as James Lazarus, the protagonist, is plagued by dreams of his death night after night. These dreams turn out to be as far from fantasy as James discovers he is truly immortal during an attempt on his life. This puts him on an urgent search to figure out who is responsible for attacking him and why. The answers do not come easily as James learns immortality can be quite painful.
Should be named Sal Lazarus.
You should be called BR Lazarus.
Exactly.
Lazarus. Lazarus looks like a very interesting offering from Image.
Is this the guy that I screwed up Ferreira? Isn't he the
Ferreira?
Did he do Small Gods?
Yes.
And,
yes,
okay. That
yes.
was the guy I thought had done what was
you
the
didn't
book?
You messed up somebody's name?
His name, but his entire career.
His entire life.
I threw it in there.
Screwed it up.
You were a fan of Small Gods.
Yeah, I really that book. I did like that book a lot. It was a perfect name for it because it was sort of taking superpowers in a world where superpowers existed and examining smaller. Mm-hmm. Smaller characters and smaller powers, and
they were small gods.
Well, they were small gods. They had these amazing abilities, but they weren't like costume crime fighters. They were different, different smaller characters, and it was just an interesting.
I can see 2 seconds into the future.
Yeah, stuff like that. It was pretty cool. Good stuff.
Brian Reed who's turned, I think, very much into one of the names to watch out there. He's a writer. We got turned on to him, Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
And he's working with Bendis on Illuminati.
Yeah. He was,
doing
yeah.
Some co-writing
he's still
on
doing
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, he's and this is one that I think Adam can chime in on. He is set to write the Mercenaries comic for Dynamite Entertainment, and that is a comic based on Pandemic's Mercenaries series of action video games. So,
there's how video game.
He does this to me all the time. Yeah. It's like, oh, he'll be able to talk about this, and I'm going, what?
I gave him the hook at the end there.
Yeah. So. I'm so buried in what we're on our game right now. I'm really not seeing like what's going on.
The video game expert goes, oh, cool, video game.
Yes,
that's it. That's all I got.
It's so one of those things you turn on and play.
But yeah, Adam, we're seeing more and more of the crossover of comic book writers. Going, and this is a good preview for this Thursday's episode where we really get into video games, but more and more comic book writers are jumping over and writing video games.
And in many ways, and in many cases, those of us that are working in video games are trying to hire those guys to do work for us. You know, I mean, it's sequential art is, you know, sequential art. It works, you know, I mean, one of the biggest books that a game person could possibly read is Understanding Comics. Because it really helps you to sort of, you know, visualize how you want to present a story and how, you know, we storyboard our games and stuff like that as well. So,
sure. And looking at some of the folks that have made that jump, you look at Garth Ennis writing the Punisher game,
Bendis
writing Ultimate Spider-Man, and well, he's writing the Halo.
Oh, on Metal Gear Solid. Ashley Woods does the art on Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's really sweet.
Oh, it's gorgeous. But then you know more of the writers doing the games. Paul Jenkins has written several games.
CB Cebulski, I think, did some help on Ultimate Alliance or Nemesis or one of the Marvel games.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that you're starting to see that relationship.
You see a lot of sort of moving back and forth, and you know, I mean, it's almost where you see like in the games industry, and you know, sort of. Of like, you know, home entertainment, everything's sort of kind of coming together, and I think in the entertainment industry as a whole, even on sort of the creative side, everybody's sort of kind of coming together and creating different sort of avenues to explore their creativity, you know.
Next story, one of the series that we've been looking forward to for quite some time is the Rick Remender, Karen Dwyer, Tony Moore Crawl Space. And we had originally heard about this as Triple X Zombies way back whenever we talked with Rick and Tony. And rather than us talk about it, we had a chance to sit down and talk with Rick Remender a few weeks ago. So here is Rick talking about Crawl Space.
Crawl Space is a new ongoing series at Image Comics, which is akin to Creepshow, Vault of Horror, The Twilight Zone, in that it is an umbrella and it will have rotating story arcs. The first story arc is a 4-issue mini called Triple X Zombies, and that is written by myself, a story by myself, Kieran Dwyer, Tony Moore, covers by Kieran Dwyer and Tony Moore, interior art by Kieran Dwyer and Lee Lowridge, who also colors Fear Agent. And it's basically the last word in zombie exploitation. We're having, you know, as much fun as you could possibly have in doing zombies, how we feel they should be handled, and then it's sort of like a swan song. I think everybody's is writing it off and completing their involvement in the genre for a little while until it's played out its course.
And we'd like to thank Rick for talking with us about that. Really looking forward to Crawl Space.
Sure.
It's one of a trinity of new books that Rick has coming out. Casey, will you quit beating up the guests?
I'm trying to get my girlfriend to show Sal her boobs.
Nice.
So rude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just have thousands of people go, why couldn't it be a video podcast?
Yeah, they are.
You should see the slow.
You know, Braxton's going, revenge!
So Rick also has... The End League is coming out, and
he just keeps writing. He just he's got another book out every month.
And Sorrow is
yes, that's
and
his other one.
Fear Agent is
of course
the ongoing, and yeah, great stuff. Awesome. So really looking forward to that. Moving on, Matt Wagner
yes
is going to be writing Zorro.
Yes.
Go for it, Sal, because I know that you're excited about that.
That's all I had to say, yeah.
Yes! No! I love it!
Actually, it's kind of a weird... I don't know if I necessarily would have ever thought of Matt Wagner to write a Zorro tale, ongoing series, but it should be interesting. I mean, I'm a huge Matt Wagner fan. Anything that he's done. I don't know. Is he...
You guys hate artists, don't you?
No, they did say who the artist was, but it's not here, so I don't know off the top of my head.
You know, Dynamite's doing some fun stuff. They, you know, they got Zorro, and then they've got Christos Gage doing The Man with No Name.
Yes, so. I know that Mike Norton hates the idea of that, but you know, he did. He last week he bashed that book,
really?
Saying that we should never find out what happened to The Man with No Name. I was just watching A Fistful of Dollars, no, A Few Dollars More,
mm-hmm.
last night. What a good movie!
I'm a Good, the Bad, and the Ugly fan.
Anyway, yeah, Matt Wagner, he's just awesome. So. I'm not going to go in. I mean, you know, I haven't seen anything
yet. It's Zorro. Wagner.
I mean, Zorro was one of the few, like, one of my first comic books.
When Alex Toth passed away, you were sad because of his work on Zorro.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, he was a huge influence on, I mean, just as a kid, Zorro was a huge, the TV show, the comics, I gravitated towards him because it was one of the few, like, Mexican heroes out there, and of being of Mexican Spanish descent. It was something that, as a kid, was really important to me. So, yeah, Alex Toth's work is unbelievable on that series. So I hope that Wagner and whoever they have as the artist on that can really do it justice.
I felt that way about Underdog.
Because you're part dog.
Have you seen the trailers for Underdog?
God. I laughed my butt
Jason
off on
Lee,
I actually kind of liked
Lee
it.
Jason wants me to hate him. Because he's also doing an Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
Yes, he is.
Oh, God.
He's trying to, you know...
I'm sorry, but like when I first saw the big billboards and stuff like that, I was like, this is stupid. This is ridiculous.
Underdog?
Yeah, but then when I saw the trailer, I was like, this
Ooh.
Is kind of funny.
You know what? Jason Lee was a pro skater, so anything... that he does after that
is okay.
It's okay.
It's cool. He's already got his cool.
Because he doesn't care. He's like, whatever. I'm fooling him all, baby. Give me this huge check.
Why don't you take your Lance Mountain shirt off and get out.
Lance, you're really going back, aren't
you?
Yeah, you
like that?
He's Skater raping boys. Our childhood.
Raping our children. Oh, good Lord.
This took a dark twist, folks.
All right. Is that our news?
That's the news.
You know, we're saving up. We got, we're going to
blow our wad next
mountains
week.
And oh. mountains of news
Ooh.
Mountains next week. Sal, you got anything else to throw in there?
No.
Nah?
Nah.
All right. You're saving it up for
future
stacks.
I got 12 books I'm talking about in future stacks.
All right. Well, that will take care of our wire-to-wire comic book news.
Yes.
That means it's time for...
Top of the...
No, you keep screwing it up. It's time for future stacks.
Oh, future stacks
no,
comes
it's
first? It's top of the stack. It says right here.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's screwed up. We always...
You screwed it up.
We fine.
Always do top of the stack.
Do we?
Yeah.
I've done too many. It's all blending.
It's all
together.
In the future now.
I don't know.
The future's like in the past and stuff.
All right, it's time for top of the stack.
Yeah.
Top of the stack. Top of the stack.
That's right, it's top of the stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week.
This is so deja vu.
Yeah, I know.
I'm Denzel.
Okay, hit the record button.
Was that any
hit
good?
The record button. Tom is not here. He's usually our... He's on assignment.
Oh.
Since he's not
waiting
here,
for Harry Potter.
Sal, why don't you go first this week?
All right. My top of the stack, which kind of surprised me that it was the Wolverine Origins Annual Number 1 by Danny
Way. It's not a surprise to us.
And Kari...
Andrew. Kari.
Kari.
Yes,
Kari.
Kari Andrews.
Why can't these people... artists gotta have silly names.
Well, why? It's just
Kari. But it's two A's. Who spells car with two A's? Anyway, I have why I was surprised so much is I haven't really read a Wolverine book in probably a year. I just kind of got sick of the character and just whatever. I've seen
why
enough.
Not, bub?
I saw enough enough Wolverine to last me what I thought was my life. But I really enjoyed this issue, mostly for the art. The story was good. It was Wolverine goes to Madripoor. He's looking for someone from his past.
Again.
And again, someone else from his past, once again,
Jesus,
to try and...
how many guys does this person know?
He's been around for a while. In doing so, you sort of get the story of who this character is, and mostly it's told in flashback to like World War II era Madripoor, where he's actually the Patch character.
Right.
And just sort of his interaction with how he meets this other
woman and how what their relationship is and blah 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 and why he's searching for her.
Does it have a sweet picture of Sabretooth?
It does have a really sweet picture of Sabretooth.
Awesome.
Yes, right there.
Awesome.
See that? Pretty sweet. But the art in it, Kari Andrews,
Good Lord.
Who, as Scotty has told me, has informed me that you know his styles. He does different types of.
Oh, absolutely! Work. Yeah, he is all over the map.
And this one in particular, I think we saw it in Spider-Man Reign, where it's a very Frank Miller-esque style. It's obviously influenced by Frank Miller, but unlike a lot of Frank Miller styles, this one's actually Frank Miller ripoffs. This one's actually good. A lot of times when people seem to like try and do noir stories or black and white stories, and they try and use like Frank Miller's Sin City style, it just doesn't turn out very well. It just doesn't have the impact that his stuff does. While this book is in color and definitely has certain aspects of Frank Miller's style in it, what really impressed me the most was the panel layouts and the page compositions of them. I just thought they were absolutely beautiful. He doesn't really do much typical panel layouts in there.
Right.
There isn't a whole lot of panels.
He doesn't stick to the grid.
Yeah, I mean, it's most of the panels are made up either by backgrounds or juxtapositions of characters in different sequences in the story or whatever. And I just thought it was an amazing job of storytelling in it. And that combined with my love of Frank Miller's art and seeing this really impressed me. So I think what I said before was, this is sort of what I kind of wish Frank Miller was doing now,
right,
as opposed to his more cartoony stuff that he does now, because it's obviously reminiscent of Miller's earlier work, but it's also something fresh and new and really just beautiful. I mean, I just overall the book was, I thought, really beautifully done and striking and overall I really enjoyed it. So that's my top of the stack. Again,
the art
sweet.
Was that good.
Sweet.
Did you like that, Scotty?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy my top of the set?
Like almost identical.
Shut up!
I
what's
said
your,
it was good.
What's
fucker?
Your top of the stack?
I'm actually gonna pull a bait and switch on you guys, and I'm gonna have my better half come over. Come here.
What? You can't even do your own work.
No, because I didn't read anything. I actually didn't. I had such a heavy deadline. I didn't read anything this week. So. No, come here.
Back
all you gotta do is come here.
Back in seventh grade in algebra class, Scotty, do you have your homework?
Yeah.
Well,
no.
You know, actually, no. But
yeah,
I'm gonna bring my mom in because she did my homework last night.
So Casey, my girlfriend, is going to talk about her top of the stack.
Yeah, ask me a question.
No, all you gotta do is tell them what you're reading and why you liked it.
Talking to the microphone.
I'm reading. No, I'm just kidding.
Just fucking
kidding.
Talk.
Why the Last Man?
Yeah.
And I've read what one.
Who wrote it?
Oh shit.
Never mind. I'm just kidding. You don't need to know.
Who's the artist?
Nobody remembers.
But
the
who's the editor?
But that's a beautiful thing
like
about
it,
right?
I like Brown. He should be played by.
Who did we decide? Topher Grace.
Topher Grace.
We cast
in the movie.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
But what do you like about the story? Like you've read, you're almost done with. Or you're reading the fourth book, right? The fourth trade. What have you liked about the story so far? I mean, what about it? What is there about that book that keeps you reading it and not giving me sex at night because you want to read it?
That's two separate issues, I think.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later, but what about the book?
I like the traveling aspect. I like that I don't know.
Do you know why you like it? No, I mean, do you like the characters? Do you like the situation? What is it about the characters that makes it stand out from... You know, I've given you other books to read, and you've been like, yeah, this is cute. And then just...
What connects with you
right.
in this book?
I don't know. I can't do this.
Oh, my God. You just like the fact that they walk.
Right? So it's a travel book.
Yeah, they travel.
What is funny about this to me is that... Is that Casey gets up in front of people and performs?
Yeah, she's
gun
shy.
Has a
band, her own band.
I know. I haven't eaten yet today. I can't.
Oh God! What makes you like Why the Last Man? As opposed to, you know, you watch the Gilmore Girls. You can tell me a million things why you like the Gilmore Girls.
Because I like the way they talk, and there's a mother and a daughter who's so cute, and that's how I am with my mom.
I like that he's sarcastic in his character. He's He's always got something funny to say. He cusses a lot. That's cool.
Yeah. I know do you like the monkey?
I love the monkey.
That fucking dirty monkey.
Where do you hope...
caused the whole downfall of civilization.
Where do you hope that it goes? Animal. I mean, are you interested in why? Why is no other man?
Yeah, actually, that's true. I forgot about that part.
You like all the militant...
I forgot about the main plot.
The militant female activist groups that are
present? Yeah, I don't
present.
Know what they're all about. Yeah.
What did you just finish? Tell everybody what you just finished reading. What part?
He just left the lady's house. The other agent who...
What was her name?
7-Eleven.
Right. Good job.
Thank you. And she almost... raped him.
Right.
Because you she and drowned
rape.
Him.
You like rape.
That's impossible, though. It's
only mouth rape.
It's like putting mouth marshmallow
rape.
In a place.
Casey likes mouth rape.
And
mouth rape.
He just had a suicide intervention. I'm interested in why he is the last man.
And
right.
So you want to find out
I want to find out why. And why him. And they said something, why the monkey. That interests me. Why him and the monkey.
And the monkey are the only male living creatures.
Exactly. And his mom, the senator.
Mm-hmm.
And when
what's going on with her at the moment?
Crazy Republicans, I want them to come back.
What's going on with his mom at the moment?
What's going on with the mom?
Yes.
She's trying to catch him.
With who? Who's she using? I need to know.
The Israelis?
Yes. Very good. It's like a book report.
Is this a preview of the relationship podcast that you guys are going to start up?
No, we're going to be good at that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she's the one, right? Always like, let's do a podcast, because I listened to a Gilmore Girls podcast, and it was like a husband and wife. It was so cute. And so we should do it. And so I get her on here, right? And she's like, I like because they walk.
Honey, can I stop now?
All right. Well, why the last man?
Why the last
your
man?
It's really good. Go read it.
All right.
That was my pinch hitter.
Fantastic.
Good job, honey.
Quite the bunt.
Yeah.
That she laid down there.
I'm trying to bring in a cleanup.
You knocked the shit out of that one, kid. All right.
Mr. Kennedy.
Anything you've
been reading these days?
Video games.
Casey, you need to come in and help Mike.
Yeah. Can you sit on his lap and talk about Why the Last Man?
What was the thing you read?
Another pinch hitter.
Yeah, pinch it.
All right, pinch it. God.
Okay.
All right,
two women in a comic shop that both read comics. Okay. I think that's a record.
Well,
and you are.
I'm Liz. I'm Mike's fiance.
She's all quiet. She's a little embarrassed about it.
I think my face is like a bright red. I can't feel
they're freaking out. It's just a microphone. Casey spends every day in front of a microphone.
Well, I'd say the last thing I read that was of awesome quality would be issue number 6 of Fell.
Nice.
Warren Ellis and
Ben Temple.
Thank you, Ben Temple Smith. So, and Mike's proud of me because I picked that one up on my own without any sort of prodding whatsoever.
We're going to have to talk.
Women seem to love Warren Ellis' stuff. He's got a huge...
Yeah.
And she doesn't even have any tattoos or piercings.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But it's awesome. The artwork is really cool. Warren Ellis, his writing is awesome. And
it's a great crime book.
It's great. Like, you know, you have this detective in Snowtown, and you're like, why in the hell would anyone want to be there? Because it's such a...
miserable, creepy, awful
piece of shit.
It's hell.
Dive.
It's
yeah,
hell.
It's hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, every once in a while you read an issue and there's a nun running around in a Nixon mask. I mean, that's kind of cool. But
read the, is it the Cal McDonald stuff or the 30 Days a Night, which is Temple Smith?
30 Days a Night.
Yeah. Because that's got a lot of the same sort of feel and quality of Fell, I think.
Have you guys seen the trailer for that yet?
It looks
awesome. Yeah,
it
looked really good.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then I'm a fan of Optic Nerve.
Ooh.
And
yeah, that's a great book.
The Powers series.
Do you want a redo, honey? She just threw you a fucking elbow.
I didn't mean to. It's just, you know. I didn't mean
to like those books.
Well, the cool thing about comics and enjoying them is that, you know, my day job, I read and I edit stuff during the day, so it's kind of nice.
Medical stuff.
Ooh, fun.
So,
it's a nice break.
It's a nice break, and it's cool because it's something, not to get all cheesy and Hallmarky, but it's something we can do together.
Oh. Now, did you read comics before meeting?
Casey's like, do you want to do a relationship podcast?
Yeah, because I listened to the Gilmore Girls.
Poor Casey. Well...
It's a good idea, I think.
I definitely liked anime, and so that's kind of what brought us together. And then you got me hooked on the comics.
What was the first comic he pushed on you? Do you remember?
Aeon Flux? Well, that's what got us.
Because he wrote it.
But his own shit. Hey, honey, read this piece of genius.
I love this.
So, no, I think it'd be the Power series.
Power series.
That's good. Enjoy
it. But Aeon Flux, the animated show...
Right.
Kind of got us together.
That not Adult Swim. Was it Adult
Swim?
Liquid TV.
Liquid MTV. That's right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever read Alias? Bendis's Marvel?
Yes, I did.
That's really good.
That was the Omnibus.
Yeah, that was birthday. We name things. We name our books weird names.
You can sell that
like Omnibus.
For fat cash now.
Really?
Yeah. It's
Absolute.
Absolute Bike Lego.
I'm almost done.
The X-Men Omnibus with the 94 to 131 off of eBay. Got a good price. And then... found out they're reissuing it this fall.
Are they?
Yeah. Don't.
Ooh, I'm going to sell mine because that sucker's going for like $200 now.
Alias Omnibus yet?
No.
It's really good. Alias is a good story.
Yeah, Alias is
it's a hefty book, but it's awesome. Really. It's really awesome.
To be as a it is a huge book, but it is such a fast read.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through that so much faster than...
Make her feel bad.
Huh? Well, I mean, if you're slow, you're slow. You don't have to feel bad about it.
All right, Adam, what have you been reading?
You know, I don't read my comics from week to week. I kind of tend to hold off on series, and so I'll just read them in one bunch.
Why do you hate America?
You're ruining.
The terrorists have won.
And see, what I would have said is last week I just finished off of New X-Men. And I said something nice about it, but since Scotty's being a dick.
Did you really? Did you read it?
Yeah, I did. Just finished it last week.
Yeah. Honestly, because I didn't write it, but what did you think of it for
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah?
Like, I love the fact that you guys are bringing back Magic and Ileana and stuff. Like, she's my favorite character.
It's been really fun.
Yeah. Scotty told us that was his idea.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
He's like, who's Magic?
I'll be the God's honest truth. I did not know who it was. Yeah.
So Scotty's being a dick about it, I'm just going to say I hated it.
Whatever. I don't need
sold out anyway. You already bought it, sucker.
Yeah. It was great. The art was fantastic, and you know the story was great. Right now, I'm reading Peter Allen David's X Factor.
Oh, so I've been good on stuff.
That. Yeah, we've got you about that.
My
I
favorite X
Blast version beforehand, and like it's funny because it's not the same thing as it used to be. Like it's
used to be as like when
He was doing the original X Factor, like he was doing sort of toward the end of it.
Like
the original X-Men.
Okay.
Yeah. And now it's like he's got kind of the same cast, but it's much more dysfunctional, and I really like.
Well,
what
it's
he's
like
doing
a noir. It's like kind of like X-Men noir, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's the most un-X book out there. It doesn't really have anything to do with the X-Men, or
because it's not all about mutants.
Yeah,
everything's about mutants.
Well, that's the problem with a lot of the X-Men titles now. You know, it's like they're so X-Men related that it's like, you know, that's why I like Grant Morrison's
New X-Men
so much, because it was just like stepping away from the whole like X-Men Academy, blah blah blah. Yeah. You know, and getting more into sort of the crazy, futuristic-y kind of stuff.
Right.
Wasn't that the whole purpose of House of M, is to dial back the mutant?
We all know about the events.
Initially,
yeah, but they took out a lot of my favorite mutants. And
yeah, like
I'm not
Chamber.
Really
love me some Chamber.
Yeah. He did?
But he looks
but all of a sudden he looks like Apocalypse.
it's that franchise got so bogged down in its own continuity.
Too many X-Men.
I love a book like X-Factor that you don't have to have read any X-Books over the last 20 years. You can pick up X-Factor, jump right in, and say, hey, this is just a good comic.
Matter of fact, I think even the women would really, really like that book, because it's not really focused on the superhero aspects. It's more focused on sort of a lot of sort of intrigue and sort of mystery, and it's got a lot of like in crime noir as well.
Oh, sure.
Which I think I saw earlier. You guys were tossing around at Gotham Central at one point.
I'm buying. Yeah, I'm buying
that,
a couple trades.
That bar none's one of my favorite crime noir comic series.
Yeah, a bunch of people have been talking. I mean, somebody the other day likened it to
like powers, but in the Batman world. Yeah. I mean, like saying if you like powers, you like Gotham Central more is what the person told me.
It's sort of like a, well, I mean, it's based in the, you know, Bat universe and the DC universe and everything, but it really doesn't have much to do with superpowers. More about cops. And it's just sort of like
such
a straight
a big ensemble cast, though.
Yeah.
You have to just
it's a cop show. It's
keep
it's a,
track.
It's NYPD Blue, but, you know,
totally.
You know, but it's in Gotham.
Can it be the Shield?
I don't think it's as hardcore as the Shield, but
maybe
the Wire, kind
of. You had two of the industry's best writers writing a book that they really enjoyed.
Who were they?
Ed Brubaker and Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka with a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, is this Greg Rucka guy?
I don't know.
Look on his face right now, I think I just died a little.
You got two writers that are totally in their element writing a book that I think they both really enjoyed. And Mike Lark art, Gatos art,
yes.
Stefano.
Roger Robinson?
Robinson?
Who's who? In Gotham
Roger
Central?
Robinson.
I know, there were
a lot of people.
Great book. My top of the stack this week is, it was tough, love JLA this week.
We don't need to hear what you loved, we want to hear what your top of the stack
almost
is.
Almost picked Checkmate, but Sal said, if you pick another Rucka book, I'm going to punch
slap
you in the nose.
And no offense to Greg, we love Greg, and, you know.
That's a good book, though.
We've given Greg enough love.
It's a great book,
for...
But
man,
I'm going totally event comic mainstream, and picking World War Hulk number 2 of 5, and just because it was just the biggest.
Is that David Finch cover that got you?
Yeah, it was the Finch cover. Absolutely. No, this was just the funnest romp I had all week, where I'm just like, all right, I'm going to read World War Hulk, and about a third of the way into it, I'm just totally engrossed, and by the last page, I get there, and I'm just a big grin on my face, and I'm thinking to myself afterwards, actually the first thing I did was call Vince B. at Bullpen Bulletins, and
for his Hulk love?
Yeah, because Vince loves the Hulk, loves Romita Jr., and I had to talk to Vince about it. I got that feeling of, this is what mainline superhero comics should be.
Oh, good lord!
You've got the Hulk.
Not all of them.
He's smacked. Oh, well, you know, just that excitement of reading this story. There's so much action. There's so many cool sequences.
It's like a Michael Bay movie.
You know, payoff after payoff after payoff. This is what an event comic should be. It was just one payoff.
It's my favorite event going on right now, I'll tell you that much.
It was so fun. You've got, you know, the Hulk is taking on the Thing. He's taking on Doc Samson.
Slapping people around.
Yes, yeah,
bitch slapping.
Bitch slapping.
Not
his own cousin.
Breaking a sweat. And he's just like, get the hell out of my way. And, yeah, he does, like, the, you know, the two-handed head slap on the Thing, which is great. You know, the whole war-bound troop.
I just love seeing Hulk kicking everybody's ass.
It is so fun.
Such a man. Such a man. All this testosterone.
I love it. Don't be afraid.
I like flowers.
He walks
and
through
puppies.
The Avengers and the Fantastic Four. Like their heir, and it is seeing the Hulk this powerful, this pissed off, and on a mission to just kick people's asses. It's fun, and Romita's art is just it's great. I don't know if thinking back on it, I would have picked Romita to do this project. But his art is paying off so well.
It's a lot less blocky than his stuff used to be, too. Like, it's more...
I was kind of freaked out a little bit by his Thing when he got to the pages with the Thing. It was like, it almost looked like a different artist.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
You know what I mean? It looked more...
you know, it's almost like comic cartoon shape.
Yeah,
kind of style.
More
it,
like,
yeah.
Which,
that's awesome.
You know, I think he's got a little different style going on some panels, which is nice to see out of him. His anchor?
Yeah.
Klaus Janson.
Oh, of course, Klaus is the best.
You know, and on the first issue, I didn't really like Jansen's inks on Romita, but in this one, I think they've really got a feel for each other yeah. now. Yeah, and I saw a notable difference in this. I don't want to spoil the last page, but the payoff on it, and that's the word I keep using in this book is payoff. The last splash page, you're like, oh hell yeah,
oh Hulk smash hell yeah, shut it, Hulk hater,
Hulk.
I don't what. Hulk smash, hell yeah! I'm supporting
Marvel in general with the World War tie-ins. Sal and I were talking about it today. It's really nice to see Marvel approaching this event, and it doesn't have maybe the fanfare that Civil War did, which I think is kind of working in their favor. Right. In that every kind of tie-in book that you read is a true tie-in. You don't have to read it to understand the main series, but it really does add to it.
I thought, like, if you're not reading the main series and your regular issue of, say, X-Men gets interrupted with a World War Hulk, mm-hmm. the way they're doing it, it's like you kind of get caught up on what's going on in the series anyway, so it doesn't, like, break up the flow. Of, and it makes sense. I mean, it's
was
like...
It was a perfect
Yeah, you know what I mean? I even enjoyed, like, World War Hulk
I've
X-Men.
The Iron Man issue, like,
When you read the Iron Man issue or World War Hulk 1, read Avengers Initiative, and there's a neat little moment in there where you're like, ah, that's very cool.
Whole thing about the yeah. robot.
And you're like, oh, I get it. So, World War Hulk 2,
I was
going
to pick it, but I already picked the first one. So
yeah, so
I had to pick something.
It's fun. You know, kudos to Marvel. They've been taking a lot of heat from the whole Civil War fallout, and I think they really have an event that is paying off. So there's the word again. So that is my top of the stack.
Yes.
That rounds out everybody's. No. That means it's time to take a look at next week's, or actually this week's comics. It is time for Future Stacks.
Future Stacks.
All right, Future Stacks. Sal, this is your chance to take a
my
look
chance
at
to
what
piss
is
everybody
you
off.
You hate this segment now.
Well, no,
so
it's
funny.
Just like, you know, I don't know. I thought it was a good idea. Obviously, some people have a problem
You're
with
so
it.
You're so saddled with it now.
I know, and I can't get away from it.
All right, Sal, tell us
what
to buy this week.
A few things I just thought maybe check out.
My grandma's ghost.
Shut up. Grendel, Behold the Devil, number 0. It's a primer issue to the new Grendel series. It's 50 cents. If you've never read Grendel and maybe want to check it out, see, look, she's looking right now. This is what Future Stacks is all about, telling somebody that, you know, something's coming out that they might not know.
Awesome.
I could be for 50 cents.
Yeah, 50 cents.
You ever read Mage?
You need to.
Ooh, no, but I probably
fucking up your Future Stack
load.
Well,
see, that's the reason, by the way, that I haven't finished Alias.
Remember the woman who...
There's too much out there for me to read.
Have Mike, you have Mage in the long boxes at home, don't you?
And all the Grendels.
Yeah.
All the Grendels.
Nice.
Yeah. I love the one with Devil's Legacy. Was that the one with the woman, like... I remember that was one of the first sort of indie kind of comics that I read.
Oh, yeah,
with
Panda Brothers.
Yeah, that was, I loved that series. It was awesome.
So, Grendel, Behold the Devil, number 0. Next up, Speak of the Devil, another devil book. There's a lot of... It's actually a theme going on here. Speak of the Devil, number 1, from Dark Horse. This is the new series by Gilbert Hernandez. I'm a big Love and Rockets fan, so anything from them, I'll at least check out. So that's coming out this week. Batman, number 666. Grant Morrison.
This is a very dark...
Yeah, it's basically... It's, I know, the whole thing is, like, demonic. This is an issue, it's a standalone issue, it's set in the future, 15 years in the future, and Damian Wayne, who we find out earlier in the Kubert Grant Morrison run, who's Bruce Wayne's son, is now Batman, and it's basically 24 hours are left before Armageddon, and Batman has to try and stop it. So it's just a standalone. I just thought
Armageddon.
It was gonna, you know, Grant Morrison dealing with Armageddon.
I don't want to close my eyes.
Oh God!
And what's next?
So Batman 666, Hellblazer 234.
Hellblazer?
I know it's all
Hellblazer.
I don't know why it's all.
What the fuck are you into this week, man?
I don't the devil.
You love the Satan.
Yes.
It's a
no, I really. I really put this in there because this is a new new issue, or it's a new arc starting in this four-part story arc, and I think Annie Diggle has done just an awesome job of bringing that character, John Constantine, back to where he should be. I think that character sort of lost his way after so many issues, and Diggle's really kind of brought him back to what I think a lot of people, Hellblazer fans, really enjoyed about that character. So
yeah. I'm just about one of the most hardcore of hardcore fans of Hellblazer.
Really?
Yeah, that was the book that really brought me back to comics when I was in college. I kind of left comics for a long time, and then I picked it up, and it was when Garth Ennis was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Warren Ellis, of all the people, did the best job of sort of, like, you know, making that guy just, you know, really shine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got all pissy and left.
We yeah. talked about this before. How do you like the Constantine movie?
Keep fucking up my future
stuff. It wasn't. I try to think of it as not within the same. Like, it really disappointed me that it wasn't, like, British. Like, I know this is going to sound silly, but, like, Jude Law really should have been Constantine, and it should have been set in London.
Jude Law? Really? Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I would say, you know, if it was a younger Sting, he would have been perfect, but.
Well, anyway, I think Andy Diggle's really doing a great job on Hellblazer, and this is the new start of a new arc, so go check it out. Next, a couple of trades. Immortal Iron Fist Volume 1 hardcover's coming out, $20. If you haven't read that stuff from Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker with David Aja and a bunch of other sort of fill-in artists, but special artists.
That yeah, I don't know what you can call not, Russ Heath and
yeah,
John
awesome.
Severin fill-in artist.
I love that series so far. So this collects Iron Fist number 1-6. Essential Spider-Woman Volume 2 trade paperback. I just put all this Essentials on there because I know people dig them. And then a couple of magazines. Comics Introspective Volume 1 Peter Bagg soft cover coming out from Tomorrow's. And then a John Romita, All That Jazz also coming out, which is just a retrospective of John Romita stuff. So that's about it. That's Future Stacks. Not a
Future
whole lot
Stacks.
Of stuff coming out. That was it.
Cool. Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome.
We'll be looking for that.
Send me all your hate mail.
Future Stacks!
We love the Future Stacks.
I hate it.
You keep thinking of those. What are those Pringles chips, the Pringles Stacks? Kind of thing. Every time I hear like the Future Stacks, that's what I kind
they're
of
like. The mini
yeah,
stacks.
Yeah, little stacks.
Like the little canisters.
Like, your little Pringles.
Your segment's like food.
When junk you, food.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Easily digestible.
You can get Pringles to sponsor it.
I was the first one to hate on Future Stacks, and now I've turned a leaf, and I leave you alone about it. But everybody that shows up here,
well,
every new person.
It. You can support
I
it.
I do support it.
No,
I call
not
you.
Verbally.
I say, I love you.
No.
I love your Future Stacks idea.
That's
you gave birth from your womb to the idea.
Why don't you guys just come
enough.
Up with your favorite five and then compare them and pick the favorite
more,
five?
More ideas.
I can't get these guys to do any work. Are you kidding me? Him? Please.
Oh, yeah, I don't do any work. I don't work at all. I call Sal. He's like, "Well, I'm working on the forum."
Why don't you email Sal your thoughts on Future Stacks?
You want a smack?
Yeah. Oh my God, that was for real. All jokes aside,
that wasn't fucking.
Sal just had the smoke from the nose.
That was domestic abuse right there.
Move on.
Speaking of beating Chris up, we have listener email.
Yes, we do.
There are several ways that you can interact with the show. One of them is sending us a listener email. We enjoy that. You can send that to info@aroundcomics.com, Sal@aroundcomics.com, Chris@aroundcomics.com, or Tom@aroundcomics.com. Our first listener email is from Vicious Smith. It says, recently I read that Ronin
is in the works to be a movie.
I can't read
and I think you also mentioned it on a recent show. So I picked up a copy at the library today, and the style is wild. If no one on the podcast has read it, yes, I have. The designs for the biotechnology and the characters are very chunky and blob-like, I guess I would call it. I don't know how that would be interpreted as live-action CGI. Also, do you think that the racial language would be kept in because the way the story goes, some of that could be cut out? People were trying to cause an uproar over the race in 300. Imagine what a shitstorm would fly if Ronan is a mostly direct translation. Also, I think that the main female security officer should definitely be played by Rosario Dawson. She just has to be in every comic book movie. She absolutely looks like a good fit for the character. Yeah, I don't know how they would really interpret the art from Ronan into a movie, I don't know that they would really... I mean, it is sort of like bio-organic. I don't know how it would look on film exactly. But, hey, you know, with technology the way it is, they could probably do anything. As far as the Ray stuff, I would imagine they would probably cut a lot of that out because, I mean, it was, you know...
different time.
Well, a bit of a different time, and... while 300 had certain people, you know, kind of sort of complaining about race and stuff, and this is a bit more direct, and you know, it's not sort of like a subtle thing. I mean, it's right. It's you know, directly racist, but it's intended to be. I mean, the characters are, so it's intended to be. So I don't, you know, I mean, it'd be sort of like talking if you're talking about like the Spirit movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, with a character like Ebony. I sure. mean, that it, at the time that was written. Looking at it now, yeah, it's extremely racist. It was racist back then, but it was accepted back then. So I don't know how that's going to be handled either. You know, I'd imagine it would be changed because times have changed and attitudes have changed, and things aren't as acceptable as they once were.
Stuff and still keep the
yeah, I don't think it's gonna. I don't think it would affect the story that much. But
Ebony.
All right, next one. Hi guys, or as we say in jolly old England, hello. Is he saying hello or hello? First thing to say is how much I hate Scotty. Secondly, the latest show was, as Scotty would say, fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Blimey, I like him now. He's right. He does grow on you. I've got an idea for a feature. You have future stacks. How about past stacks, where you review old books that you haven't read and
that you haven't read
that you I am assuming you haven't read in a while, and then you can all argue about it. Only joking. Keep up the good work. P.S. Scotty rocks, and that's from Bookbag.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Thank you, Scotty Rock. Or thank you, Bookbag. Next one is Paris Smith. Just wondering if you guys have, if you guys know a way to see the previews catalog online, PDF maybe. Love the show.
I've kind
of tried to find one, and
I haven't seen a PDF. But if you go to DCBS or DCBService.com, which is what does it stand for? Discount Comic Book Service. They basically put the entire previous catalog online every month.
They also have a spreadsheet for everything.
They do have a spreadsheet you can download and look at it, but...
well, you can go to Diamond.
Well, but they only do it as a list. It's just a line item list.
With artwork on it?
Well, with art and descriptions and that. DCBS usually... I mean, every month they change it to update the current previews. So, I mean, that if you're looking for that. But otherwise, no, I haven't seen a PDF or anything.
All right, next one. This is a quick question for Scotty for this Thursday show. This is for last Thursday show, actually. Okay. Just wanted to know which specific artist is a favorite of yours and that you have been looking up to since you started in the biz.
Scotty Young.
Patrick.
Chris Pacello is probably one of my favorites in comics. And the people that I think that even inspired him, like Bill Sienkiewicz, to me, Chris, when he started on Generation X, when I saw that book, it's really kind of what made me decide that, maybe this drawing thing that I do, maybe I could do comics. Because it was a superhero book, but it just did not look like what, you know, he was my Sienkiewicz of that time, where
right.
Sienkiewicz was a little bit before I got into comics, so it wasn't until later that I discovered him, but... It was that same feeling that I'm sure people had looking at Sienkiewicz of like, wow, this does not look like the way
something
that everybody...
completely you know, different.
Yeah. This does not look the way that other people draw superheroes. This is weird and scratchy and kind of abstract and very artsy. And I think he, over time, has just played around and experimented with so many different styles. And anybody who kind of has the guts to try things and not know if they're going to work, but try them anyway. You know, like I'm a fan of anybody who is not afraid to walk away from playing it safe. You know, and say, hey, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do a book like steampunk where the pages are just crazy and see what happens. And I'm going to do this style on X-Men. I'm going to do this style on The Witching Hour. And so he's definitely a guy who I think over the years has just. Tried a little of everything, so I would say he's one of my favorites in comics.
It's interesting you bring up, like, it gave you the idea that, hey, maybe, you know, because your style wasn't and isn't like a typical superhero,
right?
You know, but because he did it,
yeah, and that's what it was. Yeah. Is when because I was you know, I drew long before I was into comic books, and so I just what am I going to do with this? You
right.
know, I don't know. And it was that it was I had kind of been in comics for a while, reading them, but it wasn't until I saw somebody who didn't do what everybody else did that made me feel like, oh, I don't draw like everybody
right.
else, but he doesn't either, so maybe I can try to make my way through there anyway. And, yeah, so...
And look at that. Look what happened.
I'm giant.
Now you're huge.
I was lucky enough to actually meet the guy over at Comic-Con several years ago.
Yeah.
And I was, I got him to do a sketch of John Constantine for me.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's pretty rad.
Yeah, there's, like we've talked a few times through email, but I've never met him in person. But I mean, I've met a lot of people that I've looked up to over the years, but he's still the only one I haven't. So I would probably be, you know, a little freak, a little starstruck on
you
that one.
Show him your abs.
No,
he did a pinup in the Digirights comic.
That's great.
Oh,
yeah. Granted, he just drew whatever the hell he wanted to. And says, "Here's your pinup."
Right. Yeah, so Chris Pacello. So thanks for the question there, Patrick.
All right, our next one is from Eric Osborne. And holy shit, you don't know what a pleasure it was for me to wake up and find out that Dave goddamn Windorf was going to be on your podcast. You guys are so beyond cool, I know. I am his biggest fan, and to think that he sought you guys out is a testament to your awesomeness. I have smoked many a joint and tried to touch many a booby listening to Negasonic Teenage Warhead. You guys might appreciate this. The morning that the podcast posted on iTunes, I was thrilled to find Dave's name next to Around Comics. I ran to my wife and told her about it. A moment later, I realized that my iPod was missing, then my phone was missing, then my keys. Then as I went outside, I noticed my car was missing. Someone had broken in during the night, stole my keys and stuff, took a shit in my wine bucket, and stole my car. I got my car back, but the rest of my stuff is still gone. I bought an iPod that following weekend just to listen to that episode with Dave. Seriously, you guys rock. Best episode ever. Sincerely, Eric Osborne.
Wow.
I take no responsibility.
I feel like I need to send him something.
Yeah.
You want a shoe or something?
Who like breaks into your house, steals your wallet, your keys, and your car, and takes a shit in your wine bucket?
Yeah. Like, that's some devious shit right there, right?
I mean, that's just like, you know.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to steal this guy's shit, but fuck him, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck him. I hate this guy I'm stealing from.
Yeah, that's personal. All right, the next one. I guess if I read many Marvel and DC comics, I'd feel stupid reading the Comics Journal, too.
That's implying that we feel stupid?
But as I prefer thoughtful, well-done, and yes, intelligent comic art of all eras, I'm happy to plunk down my $12 every month for the magazine you so lightly disparage.
Oh, this is from last week when we were ripping on Comics Journal.
Please note sarcasm. I suspect you refer to the Comics Journal one or two editors and at least some years in the past without looking anything up. I can tell you the current format has been in place for at least 20 issues. I'd say that I treasure each one and look back at them often. Do you know that each issue has a portfolio of full-color reprints of many of the greatest and most obscure creators in comic books and strips? These features are commonly 30 to 40 or more pages.
Is this written by Gary Groff?
Of stories that would cost me thousands. The rest is news, interviews, and reviews. Frankly, I don't waste time reading reviews, which I suspect is what pissed you off. Life is too short. I do like listening to comic book podcasts, and I applaud and happily consume your two shows a week. But you're no ISR, Indie Spinner Rack. Thank you. I know it's a lot of work.
I would need an 8-ball to be that true.
In closing, I'll say I wouldn't ever have written you these lines except you picked Madman Atomic Comics 3, and that is from the Comic Book Shaman.
Was it good?
I think
or bad?
He's complimenting you for picking Madman.
Oh.
As
was the rest? I didn't get the rest. Was he like? Did you guys?
No,
see something
we talked
bad about.
Yeah, last week I had mentioned in Future Stacks, another
right.
How this has become the bane of my existence.
Right.
No, he mentioned that it was coming out, and I said something like, "Wow, I didn't know that book was $12 an issue.
Right.
I just thought that was a lot of money for
right.
a magazine." And then Tom said something about how if you want to feel stupid, or no,
a book
journal,
that makes you feel stupid.
No, it'll tell you how stupid you are.
Oh, okay,
it's kind of, we were just kind of joking around.
Yeah, of course,
you know it's. I don't have anything necessarily against
the
comics. He must. I think it's
comic
Gary,
book shop.
It's Gary Groff that just wrote that letter. I mean, the editor of No, I'm just kidding. That's what I'm thinking. It is
a comic book shaman just tried to body slam. Yeah, but guess what? We're not fazed. We wipe the dirt off her shoulders because we feel like.
There's nothing wrong with the comic. I have nothing. I mean, the Comics Journal had like they are probably the only serious journalistic, you know,
publication
in the industry. But my only problem with it is they take themselves too fucking serious.
Yeah. I mean, and if you listen to any number of Around Comics shows, you'll hopefully understand that we're serious about comics without taking comics too seriously.
And certainly not ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the Comics Journal is a great Lighten publication, up. But it is, yeah, it's very...
Have a little fun.
I do love that he says comics he likes show, but you're no...
Yeah, he's been around.
Which is a great podcast.
Well, no, I'm not saying... I'm not saying... But I always find it funny when people will
just
know.
Insult us if you want to.
Yeah, this is so like cover it's so, yeah, it's so weird. Like you're a great show, but you kind of fucking suck.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. Like it's so weird that when
sort of
when,
a backhanded compliment.
Like yeah, I mean Sal and I have talked about this with movies before, where it's like. I, in my mind, if I like one thing, I can like another thing without comparing the two
right.
to being like, yeah. you're pretty good, but you're not as fucking good as the other thing. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's always weird for me when people, I always find, like, I would say any indie spinner rack and this show are just two different shows, and, how can they be compared?
Well, we obviously upset stuff. Him with our comic, our sort of disparaging remarks about comics. Yeah. Yeah, it's not, I guess, I mean, it was a joke.
If I listened to a podcast and they started railing on Queen and Country, I'd get pissed.
Well, we didn't rail on
it. Yeah, it wasn't rail, like, it was really lighthearted.
It was like one offhand.
And it was like,
you got pissed when I just brought it up.
Midnight, right?
Yeah.
Like, Tom's half in the bag.
It was one offhanded comment.
Yes, Shaman, you have no idea how.
And the book's fucking $12, so fuck it.
It is $12.
$12 for a magazine.
Right. Our last email is from Rick. It said, "Hey guys, I love the show. I found you and Crankcast through Scotty, who is a comic god."
Yeah.
I hear he's
somebody who finally recognizes.
Somebody gets you.
Yeah.
I hear he's so ripped you can see his muscles through his clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Jim Lee style. Anyway, the last show got me thinking about how much I disliked Superman Returns. There are so very many things wrong with it, but the worst to me is how in every Superman movie, Luthor is a silly caricature who has some needlessly ridiculous land grab scheme. How can any Superman movie be good if the plot is him foiling a stupid real estate plot and an ineffectual villain?
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Luthor should be diabolical and mean and already rich, not sleeping with wealthy elderly women for their money. Anyway, I don't think Hollywood really gets what comics are about, or they just suck at executing them as a movie. What are your guys' favorite comic movies, and what are the worst ones? Oh, good lord.
Favorite comic movies? X2.
I think Batman Begins is the best comic movie ever made.
Spider-Man.
I think Rocketeer is a very underappreciated comic book movie.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Toxic Avenger.
Mystery Man.
That's not really a comic book movie, though.
The Matrix is really a comic book movie, actually.
The original Superman, the first one.
Very good stuff. I don't know. The worst ones? Like the old Reb Brown Captain America stuff is god awful.
The Corman Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that's.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, we've talked comic book movies.
Modern
before.
Day?
Punisher
was.
I actually liked the Punisher about 100 times more than I liked the Fantastic Four. The first one. I haven't seen the second one, but. Yeah. I mean, the Punisher, I could see. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, it was cheesy, but something about it let me be okay with it being cheesy. While when I watched the Fantastic Four, I just felt like, and maybe it was that situation where it just wasn't made for me. You know, it was made for kids, so I couldn't. I just thought it was too. Like the fact that Doctor Doom, like you know, Latveria guy was like had a metal mask on and a hood, and he's like, "Hey guys, come on, I'm gonna get you."
You know, I
a conclusion so easy.
Yeah,
I kind of look at comic book movies or movies in general on like rewatchability, and I can watch Sin City or 300 over and over and over.
You could watch Sin City over and over.
Oh, absolutely.
I've watched it multiple times.
I think some of the worst ones though that came out were the. The last Batmans that came from Schumacher.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
Oh,
sure.
Oh, my. Oh,
painful
to watch.
My funny comic book moment this week, I'm driving driving up to the shop on like Tuesday night or something, and I'm driving up Western Avenue in Chicago, and I look over to my right, and there's a flatbed tow truck that has some beat-up cop cars on it, and I pull up beside them, and I look over to my right, and it says Gotham Police Department on the door. So I said, oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
He calls me. He calls me. Yeah.
She saw Heath Ledger.
Yeah, those guys aren't exactly hiding anywhere. Everybody's seen them in the city. They're like scouting them out now and like taking pictures.
We did a great big truck stunt with pyrotechnics.
I think honestly, and you've talked about this before, is like I think I'm too much of a comic book fan to really be the judge of like good or bad comic book movies because I give them a pass.
Yeah, you
because
give a pass. I want a movie like no, I know. The thing that frustrates me the most about the comic book movies is I want Hollywood to take I want them to treat it like they would treat any other movie where a good story comes first and foremost, and then you put the comic book property inside of that, not just going, oh, guess what, guys? Today is like, you know, casual Friday. It's Spider-Man, so all the guys do is...
Yeah, it's kind of like doing a comic book video game.
Oh, why you gotta bring that shit up?
Well,
well, at least, I mean, even they have it a little easier because they can... You do some cool gameplay for a while, and
you can get lost in that.
You can get lost in that. Where the movie, I mean, it really is. Sometimes we turn on this movie, and you wonder how in the world it is possible.
Well, but
to just abandon all like storytelling logic.
But it's very similar though. I mean, in a lot of cases, a lot of these movies will be like, well, hey, we'll just put in two or three good action set pieces and forget about the story. Like Fantastic Four had like, oh, there's that bridge scene, and there was that other.
I mean,
like Daredevil. There's like two fight scenes, but you know you'll ignore the story. But
I did.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is.
Like, and I'll never like defend those films like Daredevil. Yeah. I there were parts of it that drove me crazy, but overall, it's like I didn't hate it because there were scenes in it that I really enjoyed as a Daredevil fan.
Right.
Just being able to see that stuff come to life.
Yeah.
And same with like Fantastic Four too. It's like, oh yeah, did I think it was a great movie? No, but I still enjoyed it just because I get to see those characters running around on screen.
Right.
So I give it a pass. But I totally admit that.
Yeah.
But
I think we need to make a distinction between comic book movies and superhero movies. I mean, there's a definite distinction.
Yeah. Well,
History of Violence, great fucking movie.
Yeah.
Not a superhero movie.
No, it's also
those are so few and far between. Yeah,
it's also a real far away from the comic book.
V for Vendetta.
I don't know, though. I think a lot of the comic book movies...
V for
like
Vendetta.
The
V for Vendetta, But that's kind of a superhero movie, really. I mean, it's just Alan Moore's superhero.
Yeah, but superhero movies, I guess I just want the characters to be believable and dumb. I didn't think... I felt that... Like, I didn't... You know, admittedly, I didn't see any of the Fantastic Four movies, but even based off the trailers, I didn't really think that those characters were believable. As I didn't believe Daredevil.
Well, and I think
Ben Affleck,
you know,
being Daredevil just didn't do it for me at all.
We talked about, you know, like Fantastic Four. I mean, it's obvious. You watch the second one, and halfway through it, it's pretty obvious that movie's not made for 30-year-old comic book fans.
Yeah.
It's made for kids.
Well,
but
it's made for the millions of people who haven't read a Fantastic Four comic.
Right.
And I'm hoping maybe, you know, 15 years from now, there's, you know, three stupid guys sitting in a comic shop, you know, that said that they got into comics because they watched Fantastic Four 2 whenever they were, you know, 6 or 8 years old. So.
But you do look at something like Batman Begins, and it's like, okay, that was the first time, you know, because like you had said, you want those movies to be realistic, but it's like, okay, it's guys jumping around.
Not realistic. Believable. Plausible.
I mean, and that was, but I felt like Batman Begins was
definitely
the only one that really, to me, made
this
it plausible.
Happen.
That gave you every reason that
was definitely. I mean, you believe like Patrick Stewart was Professor Xavier. And
well, but only because you know Magneto, those characters. I'm saying just like out of the blue, a character going, my parents died, and I'm gonna train in
to
be a fighter, and then I'm gonna fight crime. That's on like the surface level, that's a completely unbelievable premise.
Right.
But that film gave you realistic psychological reasons why you would think that character would do that.
For me, a couple of the movies, comic book movies, that they approached in a way that, and maybe it had to do with because the book itself never was a giant thing anyway. But I think the first couple Blade movies were.
Oh, the first Blade.
I mean, I thought Blade 1 and 2. Yeah, I mean, I loved the second one. I mean, some people feel opposite, but I 1 and 2, I think, are really good movies. They did not camp it up. They add some funny here and there, but
they believed in the movie that they were, they believed in the story that they were telling.
Yeah.
Everybody involved believed in it, and that's where
the mythology was pretty solid.
And Wesley Snipes was believable as that character. He invested into that character and like really became the character.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
instead of Jessica Alba with the long blonde hair.
Yeah.
Oh, the third one. You know. We could argue about the third one.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, the creators.
Apparently, we can't argue.
Whether it's the writers or the directors, they believed in the product that they were creating, as opposed to. Like I said, if they just go, fuck it, guys, you know, again, Casual Friday, we got this comic property, let's just do it. We don't believe in it, we know it's going to make money, you know what I mean? So,
well, that's why I think the second one was so good, because I give a lot of credit to Del Toro for that one.
Of course.
I mean, like, that, and even, he brought so much to Hellboy that,
right.
I mean, the movie was a lot different from the comic, but it brought things that the comic didn't have. It was different in a good way.
It goes back to something you had said about it. They're trying also to, it's like, they're not trying to just please comic book fans, because we're few and far between.
Especially,
you know what I mean?
We all love Hellboy here, but if you want to talk, I mean, before the movie came out, I mean, Hellboy was not breaking sales numbers at all.
So you're trying to target
Hellboy fans only.
That movie's going to tank. Yeah. You know, it's like you're trying to make something that anybody walking off the street.
Right.
And I think a lot of the comic book movies they've done, I mean, I usually go with a couple of different people, my cousin, my nephew, and we go to a lot of different comic book movies. I'm the only one that reads comics. Mm-hmm. They love those movies, though.
Yeah.
They know about the characters. I mean, everybody knows the Fantastic Four to some degree, or Spider-Man or Batman or whatever, but they don't read the comics, and they go in and absolutely love the movies. So even more likely they like them more than I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think on that level, they're succeeding, whether or not we look at them, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Heroes, you know, the show, TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Most comic book fans looked at that and went, we've seen that 1,000 times.
Oh, it's Cyclops.
I didn't. I looked. I loved it.
Well, but that's what I mean. That 15 million people were watching that.
Yeah.
It was a huge hit, and because they hadn't seen it before.
What I love is my coworker friends coming up to me, like, after Heroes or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see such and such coming this way. I'm like, oh, that's been done. That's that plot's been done about 3,000 times.
Burn Claremont 81.
That's
right. Well, that's all our email.
Yep.
I guess.
All right. Well, of course, email is one way that you can get in touch with us. Other ways to interact with the show are by joining our Friends of the Program.
Go to roundcomics.com, where you can download and print out a LCS Flyer Challenge. Ask your comic shop manager. Ask your comic shop manager if they'll display it in the store. If they do, send us an email and we'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
And we got an email saying just that. It is, hi guys. I'm sorry I missed you when I was in town last week, but my bus didn't get into Chicago until late, and I still hadn't eaten or figured out how to get to Dark Tower via mass transit.
You can't.
It's tough. I wanted to let you know that I gave your flyer to the manager of my local comic shop, Classic Comics, in, what is that?
Rahway,
New Jersey. I told Kevin, the manager, to get in touch with you because he does a great video comics podcast called Variant Edition.
Oh, I know those guys.
Yeah, we've met.
Sure.
Kevin in New York at the New York Comic Con says, and I figured you could do some cross promotion on each other's shows. You can find it at variantedition.com.
Wait, that wasn't the show last week that somebody emailed us telling us that they were dumbasses because they. Was that
That was either last week's the week.
Was that Variant Edition or someone else though? I hope it was someone else.
No, I don't know who it was.
It was
the says keep up the great work. Scotty's a great addition to the show,
even though you hate him.
Thanks for turning me on to such great books like Ex Machina and Rex Mundi.
You're welcome.
How about a discussion on comics, trades, graphic novels that you might recommend to non-comics readers?
That's what I'm all about.
Fun Home and loved it. I think I'm going to pick up Blankets and Mouse Guard for him. Anyway, thanks for the show and enjoy Wizard World Chicago. I wish I was able to be there. Hope to see you in NYC next year. And that is from Dave J. in Edison, New Jersey.
Well, thank you, Dave J. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. And check out Variant Edition. I've watched it a few times.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. Next, you can also sign up on our Frapper map so we can know where you live and
stalk you, come
borrow cheese. We had a bunch of Frappers this week. Tiffany from Pleasanton, California said, owns so many comics, could build a fort, glad to be another Chica on the map.
She owns a lot of comics. She could build a house out of them, and she's glad to be another girl on her map.
Yeah, Mexican. Oh. Sal's the Mexican. He's like, what's Chica?
Next is Chica. Steve Andresky from Albany, New York. Love the show. Keep up the conversation and having fun.
All right. Truss Kelmus.
That was terrible.
From Albuquerque, New Mexico, it said it's pronounced Trace Kelmus because you guys suck with names. Future Stacks.
Niame S. from Antarctica says, I live in St. Louis. I am such a fucking liar.
And Brandon from Delavan, Illinois. Love the show, guys. Keep up the good work.
Matt from Tallahassee, Florida. Woo! I live on a map.
Good Lord.
Robert Cooper from Knoxville, Tennessee. Go Vols. Love the show, guys.
Balls. Volunteers. Balls.
Like, I know, you hick.
What a, that's it, motherfucker.
Next is Lawn Buddha from Cleveland, Ohio. My daughter does not cry over mouth genitals.
Mike Jungbluth. How do you say his name? Austin, Texas. He says it rubs the barbecue on his skin.
Or it gets the hose again.
Next
people
is,
pay attention.
They do, man.
Toog from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Yeah, he
said nothing.
Well, all he put in there was like a link to his MySpace page.
Yeah.
But I didn't write it down. So. And then the last one is Wayward Wookie from Baltimore, Maryland. I am the bear that slapped Hillary Barta across the face. That's back from episode, good God, I don't know, remember.
Our listeners are witty and have great
and
retention
skills. And they pay attention.
Yes,
they
do.
Attention.
So, and we'd like you to go over to iTunes, leave an iTunes review. Chris.
So Chris won't cry. He's stuck to sleep.
Yeah, Chris is a little sensitive. We want to make sure that we don't hurt his feelings.
I'm not OCD about it. I don't check it every night.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Before I go to bed.
Right. Marta's, where are you at? Nothing. He's reading. Oh, fuck. Nobody left a review today. Fuck. Go to iTunes. Leave a review. Thanks to those who have left reviews, like Crazy Name 1, Crazy Name 2, and Crazy Name and Functopus.
The new Gordomatic. Trolls and Functopus.
I swear, Punctrolls, I swear to God, a cat jumped on the keyboard and just.
I'm gonna create a username at iTunes with no vowels.
Yeah.
What the fuck with you?
Yeah.
Check. Check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. We post the next week's topic on Tuesdays, usually at our forum at AroundComics.com. Remember, you can also visit us at ComicSpace/AroundComics or MySpace/AroundComics and be our virtual friends. Yeah. Also, I wanted to say thanks to Dan C., Papercut on the forum, who put together a great wiki site about the show. A lot of people were asking about like how to find out what our previous shows were about, Top of the Stacks, and interviews and crap like that.
Yeah.
And Dan put a ton of work into putting a wiki page together that contains all that information and more. So big thanks to Dan for all his work. He really did a great job with it, and we really appreciate it. So you can visit the wiki from our website if you go under the show menu, or you can go directly to the site at aroundcomics.pbwiki.com.
And yeah, thanks, Dan. It was it was awesome that you did that. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast
Network. I thought they shut that down.
Now it's back up.
Oh, good Lord.
It's around,
for a week.
So. Yeah, we'll see. But we are still proud members, and you can find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
And thanks to Borders for sponsoring this episode. Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake.
I need a break.
Freudian slip. Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laura K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
And we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 1-310-909-7809. Actually, I don't know if you have to. The one I was just putting in because it's funny with the www, because the one doesn't exist anymore, does it?
Sure does.
Sure does.
On cell phones, you don't have to ever let.
No, not on cell phones.
I have to call.
Really?
It depends. Weird. On the service, and I don't know.
WWW.
What a crazy. Yeah.
Pissing people off with that, Scotty.
Is it people pissed off about that?
Yeah, we got the people on the forum were. You don't need to read WWW. We're in the 20th century.
Oh,
well, Norton started it all.
Did he?
Yeah, last week.
I like saying WWW.
You don't need to.
All right, everyone. Thanks. Thanks again, Sal, Scotty, as always. And
thank you,
Casey.
Get me out of here.
Adam, Mike, Greg Titus, who didn't say anything, but been sitting here diligently listening to us, bored, bored out of his skull. Mark, thanks as always for hosting us here at Dark Tower. A little bit of a preview for Thursday's episode. We're going to be talking video games and comics, and Adam and Mike are going to be back for that, and you'll hear a lot more with them on video games and the relationships with comics and all that good stuff. So in between now and then, you have yourself a good week. We'll
tell
be back
me what
again
to do.
On Thursday. In the meantime,
you're not the boss of me. In between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around
comics.
Yay!
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a pipe dream production. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah.